As you know, the Gospels are best understood when they are read in one sitting, so that you can see what comes before a particular passage and what comes after a particular passage. In other words, when you can get the context of a particular series of verses, the meaning becomes much clearer when you know what has just happened. And that's especially true of today's gospel. Otherwise, when it sits by itself, it's a little peculiar, perhaps, what's going on here. But when you realize what has happened in the chapter or so just previously, then the gospel passage today begins to make some sense. Think of what we've seen in the past 3 Sundays when we read passages just prior to this one. There was the story of Jesus calming the storm at sea. The sea being an archetype or a symbol, if you will, of evil, of chaos, of all that is out of control. And in the story of the calming of the sea, Jesus demonstrates that he has power over evil, the source of evil, by calming the storm. And then we had the story of the exorcism of the demon. Demons, a face-to-face encounter between Jesus and evil. And what does Jesus do but show his power over evil by casting out the demon? And then last week, Jesus cures a sick woman and raises a child, a little girl, to life after she had died. Jesus encounters the evil of death and shows that he is stronger than death, that he can restore us to life. So in 3 successive miracles or great signs, Mark shows us who Jesus is. And today in this passage, which follows immediately after, we see the people of Nazareth, Jesus' own hometown, just astounded at what they have seen Jesus do. And yet, what is their response? Not belief in Jesus, not becoming disciples of Jesus, not entering a relationship of intimacy with Jesus, but they reject him. He's not what they expected. They don't have faith, the same kind of faith that allowed Jesus to work these signs in the previous chapters of the gospel. So what's Mark saying? Well, I think a couple of things at least. Mark is identifying who Jesus is, but he's showing that Jesus is in the line of all the prophets that have gone before, whom Israel has rejected previously. Jesus is being treated the same as the great prophets who preceded him. But more importantly, I think, is Jesus, Mark, in the actions of Jesus, is showing that Jesus' power is manifested when we say yes to him, when we have faith in him. A very peculiar line in the gospel, I think. And Jesus could work no miracle there. Jesus could work no miracle there. Why not? He suddenly lost his superpowers. He didn't want any more to do good things for his neighbors. He didn't love them as much as those other folks in other towns. What does Mark mean to say when he says that Jesus could work no miracle there? I think he's saying something very profound about who God is and how God chooses to work in this world. Who God is and how God chooses to work in this world. We see that God, Jesus, never works against nature. God, Jesus, never works against our freedom. That what God desires in this creation of ours is a cooperative relationship. He provides the power, we provide the hands, the feet, the eyes. God chooses, for whatever reason, not to work apart from us, but to work in and through us. Saying yes to God's initiative allows God to have power to work miracles, to do great things in the world. And God doesn't do those things without us. We might have done things differently if it were up to us. But God creates us with free will. And we can cooperate or not. If God is love, then God cannot possibly coerce. The two things don't go together, do they? Love and coercion, they don't go together. So if there is, in fact, love, the possibility of love, then there has to be freedom, right? You can't love, you can't choose to give yourself to another unless you're free. And if you're free to love, we are also free to say no. Any meaningful relationship, requires us to step out of ourselves and into the darkness, where we don't have control any longer. Any meaningful relationship requires us to give ourselves freely to another, to give ourselves away, to risk losing ourselves, to risk dying. And if we live our lives trying to protect ourselves, to preserve ourselves, to save ourselves, if we live our lives that way, then we will never experience what it means to know the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. You did a prelude. Was it a prelude, or is it we're going to sing that later on? We'll sing it later. We are becoming. Tell me. We are becoming the eyes and hands of Christ. Listen to the words when we sing again later on. When we talk about ourselves as the body of Christ, when we talk about ourselves as the eyes and the hands of Christ, this is precisely what I think is going on in the gospel when Jesus says, or when Mark says, he could work no miracle there because there weren't people around to say yes
I will be your hands. I will be your eyes. I will be your body in the world. So we don't have to look very far to apply what we've just heard in this gospel to our daily lives. If we say no to God's initiative in the world, God doesn't get what God wants. At least not right now. It's this very strange, difficult balance that we have to find between God doing everything, which we believe, and everything, at least in our own time, depending on us. Got to hold those things in tension. If we don't love, God's will doesn't get done.